Yeah, old school. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, this ain't for everybody. Some of y'all need to hear it. I know you're in the trenches fighting, but check it out. I'm going to put it down like this so I can help the saints understand. Everything you're going through is all part of the master plan. Or what? You thought because you got saved, everything was going to be peaches and cream? You better wake up, son. Don't nothing come to a sleeper but a dream. Faith without works is dead. Read your Bible. You know what it says. He who don't work, don't eat. Blackers don't get fed. Yeah, Jesus said, he who puts his hands to the plow looks back the same ain't fit. Some of y'all ain't been in the trenches 5 minutes and you about ready to quit. I ain't mad at ya, I'm just hitting you with the real. If you died for me and I was still tripping, now how you think that make you feel? Check this out, deep game, this here's deep. Some of y'all ain't sawing nothing but your study trying to reach. But after him who's able to possess your fathers by his glory, struggles might be part of your testimony, but it ain't the end of the story. Now the point is, this was prophesied way back in the day. Choir, sing your hook right here and see if the church can relate. To try you. You say, why you? But your shirt say, what would Jesus do? Why you asking if he ain't trying to do what he's saying? Huh? He told you he was going to have tribulations, but you thought he was playing. Huh? One minute you tell her how good God is and can't nobody beat the talk. The next minute you backfight so fast, it's like you're moonwalking. Huh? Oh yeah, I'm preaching to myself because I ain't no better. Huh? It ain't like I've been following his every word, obeying it to the letter. But we soldiers, we got to remember that. Regroup, stay on point. Huh? Yeah, bow down, confess, repent, stay humble, let him anoint. Huh? It ain't easy as I thought it was. I'd be lying if I told you that. But it showed up getting better all the time. Trust me, that's the fact. Ain't nothing we going through that can't be handled. God put that on his tongue. Like they say, you can shout now if you want to, because the battle's already won. So while you're going through the valley, don't even trip. You're going to be on top. Choir, sing the hook line one more again. This time you don't stop.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? We're going to pump the brakes right there and get this one cracking. We just had to give a minute to Big Boy upstairs. You know, we had to give him his props, you know, because it's a whole bunch of crazy-ish going on out there right now, you know what I'm saying? So somebody got to help us, you know, because every time I turn on the news, and I know every time you turn on the news and every time you look around, you see some type of madness going on out there in the world today. But, you know, we ain't going to focus on that, though. You know, we're going to try to do something. You know, add our little part, you know, we're going to speak to you in that international language. You know, the only thing that I know that can elicit emotions all over the world, and that's this music, you know. And that's what we're here to bring to you. And if you don't know, I'm your host, Lamont Patterson, and you're listening to, you know, I Am ND, you know, where you get to hear all the great independent artists and their new music first right here today. Hump day, you know, and as usual, got a banging show for you today. Got a dynamic artist going to be joining us just a second here. You know, to bless us with all his great stuff and talk to us a little bit about, you know, what he's got going on in his career. So just hang in there right quick, you know, and we're going to be right back.
Charlie Starr here, and I always listen to I Am Hindi with your host, Kay Diddy, on Blog Talk Radio, every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Listen from your phone, 347-308-8747, Blog Talk, Kay Diddy.
Yeah, haven't said all of that good stuff. Well, let me see as our guest with us. Today we're chatting with Sammy James Strudgeon. Hey, man, you're in the building.
I am here. It's a privilege to be on the show.
Oh, man, fantastic, man. And thank you for taking time out to join us, man. I mean, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great, man. Coming to you live from Colorado.
Oh, Colorado, man. Is it cold up there, man?
You know, it's kind of up and down. lately. Some days it's really cold, and then some days it seems like a spring day out here.
Well, one thing for sure, boy, it ain't stopping you from making good music. Boy, I guess I was cold, but I'd sit up there, boy, and create some dynamite shit, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a beautiful place to, just draw inspiration to write music. I mean, in a lot of my songs, you'll hear me talk about the mountains or, you know, just my journey that led me out here to Colorado. I originally came from mid-Michigan, and there are very, very beautiful parts of Michigan, but when I showed up in Colorado and I seen the mountains for the first time, I just felt like I was in paradise. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. So it was definitely noteworthy, and you'll find it in my lyrics quite a bit.
Oh, great. See, that was, listen, did you, have you always wanted to do music? You know, you got music in the family. Did you do music when you was a kid? I mean, what got you into it?
So the interesting part is there really isn't a whole lot of music in my family. There's a lot of music lovers in my family. But so what really got me into it, man, ever since I was younger, just a little baby, I'd start beating on pots and pans, or I'd start, you know, I always had rhythm. And my mom and my dad, they took notice to this at a young age, and they said, man, you know, he really likes to, maybe he wants to play the drums. So they got me a little toy drum set, and, oh, man, when I got that thing, I just, it was off to the races. But just a lot of music lovers, you know. I have very, very fond memories of dancing in the kitchen with my mother to Rapper's Delight, and always banging on the dashboard and the steering wheel in the car, listening to some music, and it was always encouraged at a young age to.
Let me give a shout out to your moms too, man, for the support, man, because a lot of parents would have been saying, man, get out of here with that noise, boy. I'm trying to get some rest.
Oh man, I gotta give it to my mama, because let me tell you, you know, even in that time where you absolutely suck and you know it, you know, you're just making noise. You gotta start somewhere, you know. She never told me to turn it down, not once.
Yeah.
I got to play my music as loud as I wanted to.
Well, shout out, moms, you know, for supporting Sammy James. You know, we need more moms to support their kids like that. So much love to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I started playing in church. I played the drums in church. And that got me, you know, a little more comfortable playing in front of people and, you know, just kind of learning a structure. But one of the things that got me just absolutely hooked at a young age is my grandfather had a record collection that was stacked to the ceiling, and he had every kind of music that you could imagine. He had all genres. He was just a music lover, and when he found out that I was showing interest in music, you know, and my eyes would light up, you know, when I hear certain songs, certain rhythms, you know, and I'd want to try and mimic those, excited as I was, and he let me look through his record collection, and that was like being a kid in a candy store. And I went through, and I'm digging through all these records, and I came across a Kiss record. It was the Kiss Alive record. And I flipped it over, and I saw Peter Criss and his big, gigantic drum set and this big production, and my eyes just glowed when I saw this. And I was like, ooh, that one, I want to listen to that one, you know. And we put it on, and I swear to you, it took me about a week to learn Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day and go play that in the living room for my mom on the drum.
All right.
And that was a moment that I'll never forget, and that's something that we definitely share, because that really started getting me, that was like the spark that I needed, you know, just to start getting me really into it. And she's always been such a great encouragement, and she's always pushed me forward no matter what. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the things. Well, who else? I know you said you picked up a Kiss record. Who else are some of your other influences?
This way, the Porch Pirates.
Some of your drummers. Your drummers, that was your first love, right?
Oh, yeah. My first love was definitely the drums. Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, that band in general. I love music that mixes and meshes different genres together, and I think that's so important for originality. So definitely the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm a huge fan of old funk, like George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. That the Mothership Connection record definitely changed my life. I love that one. And then, you know, some of my bigger influences that have really stuck with me are just some of the singer-songwriters, you know, some of America's greatest songwriters, like James Taylor. Huge fan of James Taylor, and I think he has the most soothing voice I've ever heard in my entire life. If I'm down, you can bet I'm going to go sit and listen to James Taylor. I've always been a huge fan of, like, self-made artists, you know, people who can play every instrument and can, you know, go into the studio and if they can put their hands on it, they can make music with it, like Prince, huge Prince fan.
Right.
Because I just knowing what he was capable of, you know, in the studio is really incredible to me. Guys like Kid Rock, for instance, he can hop on every instrument, huge influence. I love people who have a vision and can you know, not feel limited, you know, they can kind of go in and just do it. I think that's what led me to kind of step out on my own and want to learn all these different instruments and be able to expand and write and grow and not be, you know, just stuck behind the drum kit as much as I've always loved it.
Well, I mean, to me, that's the sure test of an artist. I mean, if you're a multi-instrumentalist and a writer and you got your stage performance together, I mean, that's pretty much all of it. And like you mentioned, you know, Prince and, you know, there's several. I know Michael was a great, you know, songwriter and a performer, but, you know, I never really known about him having the playing any instruments, let me say that. You know, he missed that part. You know what I mean? You know, like Stevie Wonder, for instance, let me use him. You know, Stevie's a multi-instrumentalist and a great, you know, great performer, songwriter. You know? There's very few many people that could, you know, ride in the, you know, the seat of Prince in terms of his musicianship, his writing, his creativity, and performance.
Oh, yeah. He was a total package. And I mean, just a huge inspiration, and should be a huge inspiration for many artists. I'm proud to say that I was born in the same town as Stevie Wonder, actually, Saginaw, Michigan.
Yeah, some great musicians come out of there.
Oh yeah. You definitely grew up listening to Motown and all the great rock and roll artists that came out of Detroit, of course. And the music scene in Michigan was so nurturing to me when I first got, you know, out and playing with various bands. friends and just musicians in the scene. There was such a wide variety of music. I started playing in a blues band when I was very young.
That was gonna be my next question, Sammy. Was how old were you when you first got out there, first started playing?
So when I first got out there and started playing, I was about 15 years old, and I started playing with a blues band in downtown Bay City, Michigan, and we would just do covers and some originals. And I was obviously the youngest person in the band, and, you know, everybody had to put X's on my hands to even get me into any of the venues. Yeah, that was kind of my first, just kind of getting out there, other than playing in church. Then I met some of the two most amazing friends and musicians that I could ever describe in my life. I met a guy named Cody DeShano and Joe Gillard, and we formed a band in high school called Fracas. And Fracas is a jumbled up word that means funk rock us. And it was spelled Frokus. And our first performance was at a show called The Big Show at our high school. It was Bay City Central High School. And we played in the cafeteria for everybody. And that was really my first, like, show with a band that I had put together. And it was kind of a memorable moment. You know, it was one of those where in no way, shape, or form was it perfect, but it was something that I'll never forget, because it was my first time that this is something that me and my buddies had created, and we're going to go out and we're going to show them what we do, you know.
Were you nervous?
Oh, I was absolutely nervous. You know, if you're not nervous, then you don't care, right?
Right.
Actually, we were so nervous that my guitar player, he couldn't even face the audience. He put his effects pedals facing me, and he played, you know, basically to me the whole time. That's how nervous we were.
Oh,
yeah.
Funny.
But you know what? We got through it, and we grew. And, you know, that band will always mean so, so much to me, because that was where I cut my teeth with that band, you know. And I've taken on many roles within that group of musicians over the years. And actually, that band took me from Bay City, Michigan to Colorado. I actually moved out here to Colorado with those guys from high school. So we kind of went on that journey together. But, you know, we played all over town. We had a pretty decent following at that time. We were playing funky rock music, you know. There wasn't a whole lot of that style going around, so we were something a little bit different. And, you know, I was playing all the bars and all the clubs at 17 years old, getting in everywhere as long as I had my X's and my stamps on my hand, you know what I mean? But, yeah, it was just a really great time of exploration and just learning how to play in front of an audience. And the more that you do that, the more comfortable you get, and you know how to get those pops out of the crowd, and you know how to connect with an audience. And I definitely feel like over the years, you know, even though I was back on them drums, you know, the drum is always in the back, I always wanted to step up and be that be that guy, you know, who stepped up to the to the front of the stage. You know, I always had that vision.
I'm laughing with you, Sammy, because it sounds like somebody else I know. I remember because my initial instrument was a saxophone, right? But in my era, you know, we just had Coltrane and some of those other jazz cats, man. But I didn't really want to just be back there in the back on a horn, because I mean it was cool, but it wasn't as cool as being up front on the mic. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I feel you.
Oh yeah. No, I definitely feel that too. It's definitely an itch, and you know you can do everything you can from back there to make yourself, you know, make people notice you. But there ain't nothing like working a crowd over, you know, and just being able to connect with them, and be on the mic. So
yeah.
I definitely feel that, and
yeah.
that was a huge motivation to start branching off and start just picking up other instruments. And you know, I always wrote so much. It would be a shame if it stopped there.
What is your favorite instrument, or is it such a thing?
You know, that's a tough question, because I mean my first love was the drums and the percussion and the rhythm. Oh man, if in terms of playing or in terms of listening, like what I'm really feeling when I'm listening to the song.
When you're writing your stuff, I mean, do you do that, you know, with your drums, or do you use your guitar?
So when I'm writing my stuff, a lot of the times, to be honest, there's no musical instruments involved at the beginning. I actually maybe kind of unorthodox, but I write lyrics first, and it may sound strange, but I kind of compose what I want in my head first. So I'll write a phrase, and then I'll kind of get this melody in my head, and then I'll take that to the guitar, and I'll mimic what I heard in my head on the guitar. So that's, you know, and sometimes you get lucky, and you're just sitting down with your guitar and or the piano or the drums, and you know, you come up with something and everything comes all together. But generally it starts out for me with the lyrics. I'll hear something, and then I'll mimic that on the guitar. And for writing purposes, it's usually either the guitar or the piano. One of the two.
I wouldn't say that's crazy. That's just part of your writing process, you know. And a lot of people, you know, they approach it, you know, from different angles. But I guess the main thing is that you get there.
Definitely. You know, I'm one of those people who it's how I express myself best. Like I could send you a list of songs to listen to, and that list of songs would be like a conversation that I'm trying to have with you, because that's how I hear things. I like you said at the beginning of the show, music is such a universal language. I feel like everybody can feel that, and everybody can take something from that, and you know, it's just how I express myself best, and it's the greatest outlet that I could imagine. I'm constantly writing lyrics. I'm constantly drawing inspiration from things. I can write about just about anything, and I usually pull out my phone, and my notes are just completely full of just song lyrics. I've got so many song lyrics that don't even have music to them yet. They're just there, you know, for a rainy day, and I can always go back and pull from them. And it's just something that I feel like I've definitely been gifted with, but also it's such a blessing because if I didn't write all this stuff down, and if I didn't create, and if I didn't put these things into my music, I feel like I would literally explode. I feel like
right.
My mind would be like on overload.
That's definitely understandable, man. Well, Sammy James, we got some of your music queued up here for our listeners to put their ears on it. We got, what is it, Rhythm to Rhythm?
Rhythm to My Rhythm, yes, sir.
Yeah, tell us about that process before we let our listeners hear it. What was that? How did you put that one together?
So Rhythm to My Rhythm, that's a song that I wanted to do kind of an acoustic hip-hop mashup. And that song, it's talking about when you have a connection with somebody, you know, can you be the rhythm to my rhythm and the feet to my beat, weaving in and out of every pattern I repeat. And if I cry, you be sweet. And you cry, I be sweet. You know, it's a song about connection, and it's a song about how I go about things. You know, I put my best foot forward, and I just love to make music, and it's comparing making music in that harmony to, you know, another person, and it's kind of meshing those things together. But the process of that song started on the acoustic. I didn't know if it was gonna, you know, be more of a hip hop song, or if I was gonna try and do it with a full band, or what. But in the studio, I mean, it was just me in the studio playing all these instruments, and it ended up kind of being a mashup between the acoustic and, you know, that hip-hop beat in the background. Very, very fun song to perform live.
Okay. Well, listen, everybody. Sammy James Strudgeon right here, and we're going to play Rhythm to My Rhythm, you know. Put your ears on this. Here we go.
Could you compliment the passion that runs through my veins? Could you make my heart beat harder? Could you be the two to my four? Alright. La da da da. Whoa. To my rhythm and the beat to my beat, weaving in and out of any patterns I repeat. And if I cry, you be sweet. You cry, I be sweet. Well, I got my shoes tied up, I'm ready to go. I gotta hit the streets running, cause tonight I got a show, and I'm a drummer by trade, but that ain't how I get paid. The money don't mean nothing to me anyway. I'm dedicated to the sticks, but also like to pick, and I ain't the greatest singer, but hey, don't be a prick, just be the rhythm to my rhythm and the beat to my beat. Weaving in and out of any patterns I repeat, and if I cry, you be sweet. You cry, I be sweet. Everybody sing, whoa. Whoa, whoa, oh, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, yeah, everybody sing. Whoa, 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 oh, oh, no, no, no. Yeah, yeah, check it out. Well, I'm
just a long haired drummer with a guitar and a voice. Picked them all up, couldn't make a choice. And yo, I headed out here to Colorado. Just another dream that I had to follow. Filled me up straight full from hollow. Live and let live, yo, that's my motto. Be the rhythm to my rhythm and the beat to my beat. Weaving in and out of any patterns I repeat. And if I cry, you be sweet. You cry, I be sweet.
Sammy James. Yeah, man, we definitely feel that one, man. It was saying something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely definitely covers a lot of different areas. I definitely talk about how I'm a drummer by trade, but that ain't how I get paid. coming from drums to strums, man, and, coming out to Colorado and just searching for new horizons. And, it's definitely a song about connection, whether it be a significant other or whether it be just musicians that you can connect with and mesh with and have that chemistry. That's pretty much what that song is about.
Well, it was definitely a fun song, and, I definitely like the feel of it, you know what I mean? And that's the first thing, man. If you like
Thank
the groove, you.
You
like the feel of the song, then to me that's what catches anybody. If you like the groove, the feel of the song, and you get that head bobbing a little bit, then you know they're going to receive your lyrics, they're going to hear your message then. But if they're standing there looking at you like crazy and that your music is not resonating with them, then they're not going to care what you're talking about.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely. And you know what I love? You know what I love when you have those moments where maybe you're, because I've been in this position where I've been booked at a show where my genre does not match up with any other genre on this show. So the audience might be polar opposite, there to see some completely opposite style of music of mine. But when I can reach those people and I can get their heads bobbing and I can, get them to feel it, I mean, that's a really satisfying moment. And it's amazing when you can make music that can appeal to multiple generations, music, just a wide variety of music lovers, and I feel like I've never wanted to be limited to one style or one particular genre, because I love so much music, man, and I feel like I have a song for everybody. I could have a song for everybody. So if you're listening to this, I got a song for you, no matter what kind of music. I promise.
That's beautiful. What you think about the Motley Crue? Did you see their movie?
Motley of the Dirt. I did see that movie. That That is that's a wild ride. Oh man, they lived that rock star life to the fullest, I suppose. But you know, they were in that time where it was all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and you know, the music talked about it, and the movie described it in perfection. I think it was.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they all lived long enough to be able to put out that movie and tell the story. you know.
Man, listen. Well, I have a very good friend, you know, and he's still crazy as hell, and you probably know him. His name is Vince Neil.
Oh yeah! Wow.
And he's still crazy as hell, but you know he's fine. And it's like, I mean, like I said, it's just a blessing, man. Because the guy is full of so much history, you know, in regards to the music business, you know, from his time moving forward. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's an honor just to hear him talk.
Oh yeah, he can share the do's and the don'ts. I'm sure.
But that's everything, though. I mean, a map is everything. What is more important than having a map? You know, all you got to do is follow the map because it tells you where to go and it also tells you where not to go.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm sure he's got a billion stories that he could share that. That would, you know, help any young musician going out on the road kind of learn what to do and what not to do, what to get involved with and what to kind of stay away from. But yet he can share stories that are, you know, at this point, more than anything, very entertaining, I'm sure. He can just entertain you with all of his stories, for sure. But I love reading those autobiographies of those rock stars who tell the story of their lives, and you know it's always so interesting, you know, especially in the 80s, you know, all the crazy stuff that was happening, and just I mean those big shows and just the extravagant lifestyles that they lived.
You know, it was a different time, Sammy James, you know what I mean? The music, because, I mean, going back to, you know, even doing the music, you know, before the internet got big, you know, and we start having to email stuff and, you know, MP3s, you know, just the music business was a whole lot different than it is today. I mean, today, mm-hmm. You know, with the internet, you know, a lot of people could present their music to the masses without going through, you know, major record companies like they did in the past. So I think that's good in one way, and I think it's bad in another. Because it seemed like the industry is flooded with so much music, and it seemed like kind of good and great artists kind of get lost in there unless you have a really strong team, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the industry, a lot of major labels now, they don't really go out to clubs like they used to do back in the day, and the A&R departments is not really working like they used to back in the day. Now they just look at how many hits you got, how many likes you got, your social networking presence.
That's absolutely true.
And if you got enough numbers, oh yeah, then they'll might listen to you then. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a whole different way that the music business is working right now, and I would tell all artists, the ones that I've talked to and come in contact with, you know, good is this is the music business. This is not the music play. You know, it's the music business, mm-hmm. It's not the music play. So it's important at first you learn your craft, but you also have to know what's going on out there. Because you can have the greatest song in the world, but if don't nobody hear it, it don't mean nothing.
That's true. You got to keep up on, you know, what are people listening to right now as well.
Exactly. Because I hear artists say that all the time. You'll ask them that. That same question. Sammy, what artists do you listen to? I mean, is there anybody out there that you resonate with, that you connect with, that I mean, anybody? Oh, no, I just listen to my own stuff. You know, I just do my own thing. Well, who are you making music for? I mean, that's great if you just making it for yourself, then that's fine. But you kind of got to open yourself up, too, because it's a big world out there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like when I broke out on my own, I made that a mission of mine, you know, to listen to some of these hot artists out there right now. One that stood out to me and was a major, major influence in my writing process was Ed Sheeran, you know. And if I told the, you know, 18-year-old me, you know what, you're going to be really, really into a guy like Ed Sheeran, you know, later, I would have been like, no way, you know, there's no way I was going to be listening to Ed Sheeran.
Right.
But you know what? I found out that these artists, when you break it down, these artists like Ed Sheeran, when they're in the songwriting process, it's no different than when I'm in the songwriting process. I mean, we get in the studio and it becomes this production afterwards. But you know what? At the beginning, it's just him and a guitar and a pen, you know? And that's how it starts, you know? That's how it starts with a lot of major artists. And, you know, the finished product, yes, needs to appeal to the masses, and it needs to be something that's big and that people are going to want to listen to and, you know, really sink their teeth into, because I understand that in the digital age that we are in right now, it's a sea of musicians and artists that want to be heard. And they really are kind of crunching the numbers. And it's not like it used to be. You can go on YouTube and you can, you know, listen to your favorite artist, or you can listen to an upcoming artist. Back in the day, I hear stories of you didn't know, you know, you didn't have a visual or any experience of what this artist sounded like live unless you went to the concert. You know, you could listen to the record, but you had no visuals. And now it's just like you're flooded with all of this social media and visuals, and you can, you know, you've got every artist at your fingertips that you could ever want. So, I mean, it is kind of an overload, and it's definitely hard to break into it. But, I mean, it doesn't take away from the passion that, you know, myself and many other artists have to, you know, put our best foot forward and just try and get in there. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I definitely agree with that part. You know, I definitely agree with that part. Yeah, it's just something that, you know, once you get bit by that entertainment bug, you're just kind of like there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, first time.
What's
happening, Jay? Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was going to say, the first time you get a positive reaction out of an audience, you're hooked. You're definitely hooked.
I'm sure that was back in your junior high school days, that first place you and your band played, that first show. After that particular show, how great did you feel?
I felt so incredible, and, you know, a big, huge part of that is one of the songs, I had a big drum solo, so I even got to do a drum solo. Got to show off a little bit, you know.
Yeah, you said, like, I know you was kicking and talking about, yeah, I'm here now. And then when you looked around at the audience and seen that they was really feeling what you were doing, and then I know your chest got stuck out. And then after the show, all the little people around there, yeah, that's the guy that was playing the drums.
That's usually how it goes, man. But yeah, it was a you never forget your first real show. And you know, I've gotten to do some pretty amazing things so far, with multiple bands, multiple artists. You know, I put out this album called Resistance in 2019, and I stepped out on my own to do this solo project. And you know, it's one of the most fulfilling things, I think, to just pour myself into this age, and you know, with my guitar and these songs. That some of these songs, man, I've had the lyrics for them since I've been in high school, you know, and they're coming out, and I'm able to share them with people. And you know, it's one of the most fulfilling things musically I think I've ever done. I've just gotten to do some pretty amazing things. I played the Oriental Theater in Denver over the summer, and I walked out and I had to kind of take a breath for a moment. It's such a beautiful theater, and you know, you look out at these people, and you just have to take a breath for a minute and just soak in the moment. And you know, that's right. How I felt back at that first show. You know what I mean? That's that feeling that you get addicted to.
That adrenaline rush.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hey, well, Sammy, we have Resistance queued up here for you, man. So we're going to let our listeners put their ears on this, and we're going to be back and chop it up with you. So everybody, let the windows down, turn the air conditioner up, and put your ears on this. This is Sammy James Strudgeon right here with Resistance.
My heart's only beating, heart's only beating. Okay, your girl Miss Dramaganza? Mm-hmm, check. Lip gloss? Check. Mascara? Check. I am Indy with the homie K Biddy? Check, check. You listening to Blog Talk Radio, baby, and I love you for it. Mwah.
Yeah, and we're back with Sammy James doing his thing right here on I Am Indy, man. Did you play everything on that song?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. From the drums, to the bass, I had electric guitar and I had acoustic guitar, and every bit of it, even the backing harmonies. That song was the second song that I recorded on the record, and for some reason, because that just started out on the guitar, and when I got in the studio and I started picking up all these different instruments and, you know, putting the song together, it all kind of came together at once. And I remember just being so excited about it and feeling like it was really special, because I wanted that song to kind of hone in on my entire journey that brought me to this point in time that I'm in right now, you know, all the way from Michigan to Colorado. And it's kind of a build-up song, starting out thinking about mountains I could move, and then by the end of it, feeling like an entirely brand new person and just making a completely brand new start. So it really encompasses a lot of just what I wanted to say on the record, you know, just right out the gate, what I wanted people to, you know, the vibe that I wanted people to get.
For. Right. Well, I can feel that, because it felt kind of airy, like, you know, kind of airy, kind of good ride music, you know, with the top down kind of thing, you know what I mean? It was nice. Yeah, it was nice. You definitely could put that on and cruise with it.
Yeah, thank you. That was definitely the idea. Very, very kind of chill, makes you feel like you're floating a little bit.
Yeah. I definitely got that. Hey, well, man, listen, man, we got like 3.5 minutes left on the show. Time be flying, but I got Laugh here, man. I want to play a little bit of that, man, then I want to get right back with you so you can tell everybody where to go get your music and stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right, just Laugh, everybody. Put your ears on this one really quickly. I appreciate you. Love you much. Sammy James, just wanted to get a little bit of that one in it, man. But we got like a minute and a half left, man. And I'm sorry, man. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, absolutely. I want to, you know, thank y'all for just the opportunity to be on this show and the exposure. It means the absolute world to me. I hope this isn't the last time that I hear from y'all. Everybody, definitely check out my album, Resistance. You can stream it live on Reverb Nation. You can stream it live on Facebook and YouTube. It will be available for purchase very, very soon on iTunes, and you will be able to stream it on Spy very, very soon. So look out for that. My next show is at Maddie's Beer Garden in Castle Rock, Colorado. And I want to shout out to a couple of people. My dad is listening. Dad, I love you so much. Thank you for all the support and love. My mom, I love you so much. Thank you for all the support through all these years. My girlfriend, Angela, is listening. I love y'all. And just thank you for the opportunity. And to all the listeners, I'm coming. 2020 is going to be a big year. I'm writing lots more music, and I got much more love and music to share with you.
All right, man. Sammy Dang, Strudging, y'all. Pay attention. Guys doing great things. We'll be back next week, same time. And if you miss any parts of the show, it'll be available worldwide in about 20 seconds. So if you didn't hear it, ask your mama, ask your daddy, ask the milkman, ask the guard across the street where you can hear the show. So you ain't got no excuse. Right? That's right. I am Indy. That's it. You can get it at worldmovement.com or wherever, ever you get your music from. Like I said, it ain't no excuse. Check us out. Peace.
in the next room. Make him cry to eat him soon. Talking softly on the telephone. Make him cry to meet him somewhere alone. The love is moving over there. The woman of his heart will over there. And let's become friends and go your separate way. Can that cheating thing only leave the hurt and pain? We call each other unhappy days. She's been the biggest push. Make a plan to be with them soon. Talking softly on the telephone. Making plans to go out and do wrong. Making plans to meet him soon. Driving on the telephone. Making plans to go out and do wrong. Your kisses and your love making. You've been faking. I've been going along with you. Hoping you still make it. Even though it might hurt me, I just can't be a fool. I'd rather step on my own power and wait for you. Never see you. Feeding in the next room. Making plans to meet him soon. Talking softly on the telephone. Making plans to be alone. Even in the next room. Making plans to be with them soon. Talking softly on the telephone. That's alright, I'll soon be gone. I know you're cheating in the next room. Making plans to be with them soon. Talking softly on the telephone.
Now the man in my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day, stays the whole day long. He comes home each night, he's looking tired and weak. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never looks around, always smiles. When he says to me, how my child? I said that I've been studying hard all day. Trying for a while. I'm gonna call on your love. I'm gonna call on your love.